You're listening to a Mango Languages podcast.
Здравствуйте! Hola! Welcome back to Adventures in Language. I'm your guide, Caitlin. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a lifelong language learner and teacher, and I have a PhD in linguistics with a focus on how the mind and brain learn languages. There is so much to learn about the science behind language learning, and I'm excited to be taking you on this journey with me. In this episode, we're answering a big question. Are some languages harder to learn than others? To do this, we're going to take a look at the Foreign Service Institute's language categories, which group languages according to how long it takes students to learn them. Let's get started. So you might be wondering, what is the Foreign Service Institute, and why does it have any business ranking languages? Well, the Foreign Service Institute, or FSI, is an organization within the U.S. State Department dedicated to training U.S. diplomats and other professionals for careers in foreign affairs. Through its School of Language Studies, the FSI has been training learners in foreign languages since 1947, and they currently offer over 800 language courses in about 70 languages around the world. It's in their best interest to know how long it takes students to learn languages so they can plan language curricula that may be critical to foreign missions. The FSI categorizes languages based on how long it takes students, on average, to reach professional working proficiency in each language. This level of proficiency is defined as a score of 3 out of 5 on the speaking and reading components of the Interagency Language Roundtable Scale. That corresponds to superior on the actual scale, in case that's a little bit more meaningful for you. These language categories are based on 70 years of teaching languages to American diplomats who are, by and large, native speakers of English. As of the recording of this episode, the FSI categorizes 66 languages into 4 categories of difficulty. Now, there are well over 7,000 languages spoken around the world, so this list is by no means exhaustive. But with some exceptions, it covers a good breadth of the world's languages. These categories are based on learners in intensive language classes. So the total number of weeks might be longer for less intensive language study, but the overall categorization is likely to stay similar. Let's start with the easiest languages. Category 1 languages are the easy languages. They take about 24 weeks to learn. If you're looking to master a language in about 6 months, you might try one of these: Danish, Dutch, Norwegian, Swedish, Spanish, Italian, French, Portuguese, or Romanian. In fact, you can learn any of these languages with Mango, so check the link in the description to learn more about the 70-plus languages offered through Mango. So why are these languages relatively easy to learn? The simplest explanation is that they're most similar to English. Danish, Dutch, Norwegian, and Swedish are all, like English, part of the Germanic language family. They share many aspects of pronunciation, vocabulary, and grammar with English, to the point that some sentences are easy to understand as long as you understand English. For example, in Dutch,
Het is niet warm in de winter
means, did you guess? It is not warm in the winter. In Swedish,
Det där är min syster, Anki
means, that's my sister, Anki. The other languages in this category, Spanish, Italian, French, Portuguese, and Romanian, are Romance languages. English shares many cognates or similar-sounding words with these languages. For example, listen to the word for family. In Spanish,
Familia.
In Italian,
Familia.
In French,
Famiglia.
In Portuguese,
Familia.
And in Romanian,
Familie.
Once you have a sense of the sound systems in these languages, you can get pretty far with cognates. And while English speakers may initially find the verb conjugations and grammatical gender in some of these languages a bit intimidating, the grammar is, overall, relatively similar to English. Among the Category 1 languages, French is actually a bit harder to learn than the others, and usually requires an extra month or two of study. This could be due to its more complex pronunciation and spelling. Category 2 includes a small but rather diverse set of languages, which take about 36 weeks or 9 months to learn. You can find all of these on the Mango app too. German is in this category, which might seem a bit surprising as it is, unsurprisingly, a Germanic language. Remember from category 1, English is a Germanic language too. Take a listen to the German translation of Here is my father.
Hier ist mein Vater.
Sounds pretty similar to English, right? In spite of many similarities, German has some complex grammatical features like case marking, where words change their form depending on their role in a sentence. For example, whether they're the subject or object. To make things more complicated, case interacts with three different grammatical genders in German, as well as number, or whether a word is plural or singular. Other languages in Category 2 are Swahili, a lingua franca in Eastern and Central Africa, Haitian Creole, a French-based Creole language with influences from African languages, and Indonesian and Malay, two very closely related languages spoken in Southeast Asia. All of these languages, while quite different from English and, for the most part, from each other, use the Roman alphabet, that's the same one English uses, and have relatively simple grammars and phonological systems. For example, none of these languages are tonal languages, which can be very difficult to learn. More on that in a bit. Now let's take a look at Category 3, the hard languages. These languages take, on average, 44 weeks to learn. That's almost a year of intensive language training. Category 3 languages are languages with significant linguistic and/or cultural differences from English. There are 47 languages ranked in this category, and they come from a variety of language families. Several, like Bengali, Greek, and Russian, use non-Roman writing systems. So, in addition to pronunciation and spelling, students have to learn new letters or symbols. Many have complex grammatical systems. For example, Hebrew interweaves meaning-based roots with grammatical patterns, rather than tacking grammatical information on at the end, like an ed for past tense verbs or an s for plural nouns, like we do in English. German, which has 4 grammatical cases, has nothing on Category 3 member Hungarian, which has around 20. And Thai has a vast set of classifiers, which are tiny words or affixes that are different for different types of nouns. Some noun types that have classifiers in Thai include small objects, people, rooms. There's one clarifier for boats or planes, and another for cars and vehicles that are not boats or planes. All in all, there are a few hundred Thai classifiers, so you can imagine that this is a lot for a learner to remember. Several of the Category 3 languages, including Thai, are tonal languages. This means that in a language like Burmese, which has lexical tones, words that differ only in tone can have different meanings, just like words that differ in one vowel, beat versus bit, for example, have different meanings in English. Another challenging aspect of the Category 3 languages is vocabulary. Many of these languages have very few cognates with English, so learners don't get the head start that comes with learning a language like French or Dutch. All right, friends, we have one more category left. Category 4 languages are the super hard languages. The 5 languages in this category are exceptionally difficult for native English speakers. It takes U.S. diplomats, on average, 88 weeks to learn these. That's twice as long as it takes to learn the hard languages in Category 3. The Category 4 languages are Arabic, Japanese, Korean, and Cantonese and Mandarin, which are 2 different Chinese languages. So what makes these languages super hard? Well, for starters, all 5 of these languages use non-Roman writing systems that work quite differently from the alphabets used for English and many other European languages. So students learning these languages need to spend quite some time learning how to read them, which isn't really the case for languages like Spanish or Swahili. Let's take a look at Mandarin and Cantonese, where a single character can represent an entire word or part of a word. There are over 50,000 Chinese characters, and while you can consider yourself literate if you know around 2,000 to 3,000, that's still a whole lot more than 26 letters. The Japanese writing system also uses traditional Chinese characters along with 2 other scripts, and it's not uncommon to see sentences written using all 3 at once. To the untrained eye, Korean may look like a character-based writing system, but it actually consists of letters arranged into blocks, and it is actually one of the easiest writing systems to learn. However, Korean pronunciation can be tricky. For example, Korean has 3 different versions of voiceless stop consonants, which are the p, t, and k sounds. So the following words,
달, 달, 달,
all have completely different meanings, daughter, moon, and mask, even though they probably sound very similar to someone who does not speak Korean. When it comes to spoken language, Mandarin and Cantonese have complex tonal systems, and Japanese has meaningful variations in pitch. This means that intonation is extremely important for understanding and being understood, which is not easy for speakers of languages that don't use contrastive tones or pitch. When it comes to grammar, these languages aren't necessarily more difficult than those in Category 3, but they do have some features that can be quite tricky for native speakers of English. For one, they all use classifiers. Remember those tiny words that indicate what kind of noun you're talking about? As well as particles, which provide information like grammatical functions and relationships between words. The cultures that these languages originate from are also very different from Western cultures, and this too is apparent in the languages. For example, Korean and Japanese use honorifics, where the relationship between speakers influences how they speak to each other. In fact, it's common practice in these cultures to ask someone how old they are when you first meet them.
失礼ですが、
Because this helps you determine how to speak to them. What about Arabic? Arabic is written from right to left, and vowels generally either appear as small markings above or below symbols, or are completely omitted and inferred from context. Like Hebrew and other Semitic languages, Arabic also interweaves meaning-based roots and grammatical patterns. When it comes to speaking, many of the sounds of Arabic pose a real challenge to learners. For example, there are several consonants that are pronounced toward the back of the vocal tract in the throat, which is difficult to model for learners. You can't show someone how to move the muscles in their throat. Even a phrase as basic as good morning in Arabic,
صباح الخير,
contains three very challenging consonants. On top of all this, Arabic has several spoken dialects that can be quite different from each other, so learners need to know which variety of Arabic they should study. And knowing Iraqi Arabic will only get you so far if you end up in Morocco. There's also a formal written dialect of Arabic, Modern Standard Arabic, that is used widely throughout the Arabic-speaking world. Proficient Arabic speakers should have a grasp on both the standard and the local dialect, as well as when it's appropriate to use each one. So this adds another layer of difficulty to learning Arabic. If you're feeling ambitious, you can try learning any of these languages with the Mango app. We offer several dialects of Arabic and even some specialty courses in these languages. Well, there you have it. Which languages are harder and easier to learn according to the U.S. Foreign Service Institute? To recap, the FSI ranks languages into four categories of difficulty based on their observations of how long it takes U.S. diplomats to learn them. Languages like Spanish and Dutch are pretty easy, but Chinese and Arabic could be nearly four times as hard. Before I send you on your way, I want to leave you with some caveats. First, the amount of time that it takes to learn any language will vary among individuals. These estimates are averages based on learners who are likely to have high language aptitude and motivation and are able to dedicate a lot of time to studying. It might take you more time, or less, to learn these languages. Second, as I mentioned earlier, a list containing 66 languages is by no means exhaustive. The languages on this list are ones that are particularly important for U.S. national security and diplomacy. So what about all of the other languages? Well, it's probably safe to assume that most of the world's languages will fall into Category 3, the hard languages. That seems fair, right? Learning a language as an adult is usually pretty hard, but oh so fun and rewarding. Some might be a bit easier, like Afrikaans, which is very similar to Dutch. Other dialects of Chinese, there are hundreds, might be super hard, unless you already speak Mandarin or Cantonese. And this notion of language similarity brings me to my last caveat. You've probably noticed throughout this episode that part of what makes a language easy or difficult has to do with how similar it is to English, the native language of most U.S. diplomats. Maybe you're wondering, if Turkish is my native language, would Kazakh really be that hard to learn? Well, the answer to that is probably not. We can compare languages to each other in terms of things like the number of words they contain, the complexity of their grammars, and the uniqueness of their sounds. And some will look more difficult than others. But when it comes down to it, the difficulty of a language also depends on how similar it is to the languages you already know. In our next Science Behind Language Learning episode, we'll talk about how language similarities and differences influence second language learning. If you liked this episode and want to stay tuned for more episodes about the science behind language learning, make sure you subscribe to the Adventures in Language podcast. Be sure to check out the description for this episode for some free materials on the Foreign Service Institute's language category rankings. До свидания. Ате логу. Thanks for listening.